Hello there, welcome to the teller. Now I've still got no theme music, as you can make out. I've also got a cough. I've got this winter cold going on. I hope you. I'm in 2018, which means I've been doing these now for 2 years. I think it is now. So if you've been with me over that length of time, hey, that's really good. And if you're a new listener, well, that's kind of cool as well. Do try to pick up on one or two of the back ones in the catalogue. You might have noticed that I moved from my original podcast host to this new podcast hosting, which has been okay. I think it's working all right. It suddenly looked as if I'd uploaded like a whole pile of episodes all in one go. But in actual fact, that's not the case. The original episodes, as my first listeners would know, go back, I think, December 2016 was when I put the first one up, which was the Finger in the Ring. Somebody asked me what what other podcasts whether I was thinking of doing any other podcasts or whether and what sort of podcast I actually listen to. The type of thing I listen to doesn't necessarily mean that it would be the same thing that you would listen to at all. I listen to a podcast called The Rex Factor, which is a podcast on kings and queens and things, and they give them a ranking of whether they're any good or not. I love the Rex Factor. I think it's a really good podcast. Because I'm a fan of the American rock band Kiss, I listen to a podcast called Three Sides of the Coin, which is a couple of guys talking all things rock music, particularly Kiss related, and that's really good as well. It always takes my mind out of myself. I like podcasts when I'm driving or when I'm doing some writing work or something like that, and I'll have the podcast on in the background. It takes your mind off things, doesn't it? Today I'm going to do a story that's one of mine. It's an original one, because again, people seem to quite like it when I do the original stories. I've not had these published, but they've been floating around in the stories that I tell and in things that I do for years now. The one that I'm doing today, which is called All the Love in the City, I wrote that. Oh, when would I have written All the Love in the City? We could be going 20 years ago, actually. And I'd kind of forgotten about it completely. But when I was thinking about original tales, this one came to mind because it's one that I told occasionally in the past. It was me playing around with magic realism, the idea of being able to put sort of magical things into a fairly ordinary setting. At the time, I was also writing the tale of the Most Excellent Halima, which is one of the very first podcast stories that I did. It was either number one, two, or three. No, it wasn't number one. It must have been maybe number three, I think. one of the few that ended up being published, actually. Yeah, the Tale of the Most Excellent Halima is out. So I would say this one you should enjoy. And the interesting thing as well is, of course, that I'm probably going to be making it up as I go along because I don't have a written version of it. So, yeah, let's just go for it. There was, back in the day, a long, long time ago, the world's most wicked magician, a man named Babaji. Babaji desired the eradication of all things that were good. He hated positivity. He thrived on negative emotion. He scratched a living as a magician who did no magic tricks. He scratched a living in the oldest part of Baghdad hundreds of years ago. He had a small shop that he called an emporium, and he sold potions and lotions that would have cured minor ailments. Coughs and sneezes and cats. Actually, I could have done with them at the moment if it had been any good. He made small sort of brews and things that he would give you, and you could put them in your drink at night. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. He had a shabby blue gown. Those slipper-like sandals with the small curly ends to them that he shuffled around in. Although he was only in his late 40s, early 50s, you would have taken him for a lot longer because his face was wrinkled and prune-like, and he had a curly beard that he would twist and turn. Although the city was Muslim, Babaji was not. He wasn't a Christian either. He had no particular faith. I can't say that he was a believer of anything other than in himself. And in his shop, which was always covered in dust and spiders hung from the ceilings, he had one magical item. Only one. It was the world's last surviving and functioning magic carpet. The story of how Babaji got the magic carpet is in itself an interesting one, but I don't want to digress and go into it too much now. Suffice to say, it involved a golem. Ah yes, those Jewish magical creatures forged of clay by magicians. It was not Babaji who had made the golem, but it was the golem that stole the carpet. Babaji, shall we say, acquired it. But I don't need to, as I say, digress too far into that. It's probably a story for another day. But there it is. It's in the corner. And Babaji likes to go through the city at night, unseen. In the days before electricity, in a world lit only by fire, where the candles flickered, and the occasional, very occasional, gas lamp was upon the street, Babaji would hover on his carpet in the darkness of the night, and he would hear whispered secrets and half conversations. And these he would like to pass on. These he likes to cause trouble with. Half remembrances. A girlfriend talking to somebody that is not her boyfriend. A man dashing home with somebody else's money in his pocket. Babaji sees all. He's a blackmailer. He's a thief. He's really a wicked man. And that night, as he sits on his magic carpet, and the air is filled with damp and drizzle of a lonely night, and the last star is covered by the clouds, he's outside the window, and he can hear a whispering. Hear somebody saying, "Look, look, I promise my father will let us marry. I'll tell him in the morning. He needn't know that we've been meeting like this." And Babaji thinks, "Oh yes, because before you tell him in the morning, my dear, there will be a note pushed through his door. And in the next house, one of the city police is sitting there talking to his brother and saying, I don't think I should really arrest him. The poor man, his mother has just died. His child, and he don't have enough to eat. His wife is really ill. The fact that he stole a little bit of food in the marketplace, it's understandable. Oh no, it's not understandable, thought Bobbage. I'll make sure of that. And Bobbage turns the carpet round and moves for a moment into the glint of the moonlight. And his heart for a moment jumps in anticipation and joy of all the trouble that he's going to cause in the morning. And there he sees, at the end of his carpet, a small girl. Now, when I say a small girl, I'm talking about somebody the size of my index finger. So by small, we're talking maybe 3 inches. Maybe, yeah, 3 inch. Her feet are dangling over the edge of the carpet. Her head is back. And her hair is blowing in the wind. All around her there is a static of magic. She's extremely beautiful. And Bobbage bends over and looks down upon her. And who, he snarls, who invited you? Who invited me? Said the girl. Why, she said, your carpet invited me. Magic attracts magic. And who are you? Says Bobbage. You must have a name.
Not really, said the girl. I'm all the love in the city.
All the love in the city? You're very small.
I'm very small, said the girl, because there's not that much love to go round. She said, and to be honest, you're the problem with most of that.
Blah, said
Bobbage. Let me enjoy the evening, said the girl, and I'll be gone.
Bobbage sat there and glowered at her. Uninvited guest, he muttered. And he puts in his hand into his pocket and he rummages around until he finds a glass tube. One that he would normally use for his medicines and to just mix up a potion. He pulls it out and pours anything that was inside the tube out over the top of the carpet. And then, bending over, he grabs all the love in the city and shoves her into the tube, sticking a cork on top.
You're still alive when we get home and haven't, I don't know, collapsed from lack of oxygen or something. We'll talk again, he said.
And he turns the carpet round and flies it. As I said, the night is dark. It's cold.
and a wind blows through the alley where the Emporium is, whipping up a few papers. Last night's food from one of the houses down the road manages to blow its way down the street. A dog barks, and Babaji kicks his door open and moves in with the bottle. Putting the carpet down near the fireplace, he lights up one or two of the logs, sits down and takes all the love out of his pocket. Putting on the table in the glass, he stares at her, and she smiles back at him. "I don't like love," he said. "It's always passed me by." And he said, "From my perspective, I would say your presence in the city is, shall we say, unhelpful." "Yeah, unhelpful. That's the word for it." And what Babaji does next, I would say he does without thinking, because he picks up the test tube with all the love inside and he throws it hard into the very fire upon which the logs were burning. And there is a flash. Broken glass splatters around the fireplace, and the love in a short blue flame is incinerated. The effect is almost immediate. Lying in her bed, a girl sits up and shouts of her friend downstairs. "Hey," she says, "do you know what? I'm just going to cause so much trouble. I'm going to take a dad away from his son. I'm going to make up a load of nonsense about him. I'm going to make his life misery. For no particular reason at all. Who cares about whether I've ever liked him? Who cares about whether I've ever done anything to him or him to me? It ain't relevant. I want people to suffer. I want his boy to cry. I want to cause harm and misery for no particular reason at all." And the other woman goes, "Yeah," she says, "let's just cause trouble for no particular reason at all." And somewhere else, the policeman looks up and says to his brother, "Do you know what? I think I will report that man and arrest him for stealing a bit of food for his kid. The law is the law, after all." A man kicks his dog. A woman refuses to feed her cat. A baby cries. And the gas lamp flickering on the main street blows out, and a burglary occurs. The city is sad, and a veil of blackness falls. Babaji feels it.
It's like it's rolled out. And the bit of magic within him, the bit of magic within him feels the sadness, feels the agony, feels the pain that is to come. And Baba J does something he hasn't done in years. He dances. He dances around his emporium and lifts his hands and says, I've done it. I've done it. I have won. And this city will sink into the sad mire. It always really has been. Everybody will hate everybody else. But as he dances and starts to laugh, he's aware of something. And there she is, sitting just above his fireplace, her legs crossed, watching him with half a smile on her face. There's all the love in the city, and she still looks quite calm, although only half the size she was before.
What?
Baba J stops his dancing. He looks at her.
What? What are you doing here? I thought I'd got rid of you.
You did. For a moment, she says. But then you see, you must remember that where there is no love at all, where there is only hate, somewhere love will return. One can't exist in the world without the other. And she says, ironically for you, when love died, your happiness grew. And your happiness helped bring me back.
No,
said Baba J. Yes, she said. And I'm afraid, she said, for the good of this city, love needs to prevail. And she said, I'm going to have to do something. And she gets up and moves very quickly, as if by magic, one might say. And she touches his chest, where his heart would be. And Baba J, for the first time, feels total and utter love touching his wicked, wicked heart. And he collapses on the floor, never to get up again. All the love in the city is there on the magic carpet. And it rises and it rises out of the window of the Emporium. And putting her head back in the wind to catch it, and feeling herself grow just a little bit, she moves across the old city, repairing the damage that had already been done. And there we are. It's just about the same, I think, as it was when I wrote it all those years ago. I hope you like it. If you're new to listening to my stories, and I think a few people have come to these fresh, onto the Podbean that I'm using now instead of the other server that I used to use, then that would be... I would recommend maybe you could dip back into the Tale of the Most Excellent Halima or The Ghosts of London, which were the two stories that I wrote at the same time as this, and they're published in a very small collection of stories called The Most Excellent Halima, which are on Amazon, or I'm sure you could order at a bookshop. Also, I've been quite busy over the Christmas holidays. I wrote a because I've been busy for a few months researching on the second of the history biographies that I was writing on the Saxon kings. And I've done a book called Eadred, E-A-D-R-E-D, who was one of the mid-Saxon kings. Fascinating chap, really. He had an eating disorder. He couldn't swallow his own food. And I've done, well, it's a short book. It's only about 50 pages, I think, because, frankly, there's not that much more that you can find or write about him. But it's very interesting. It's come out now. So, you could order it on Amazon or in a bookshop. I'm sure you could order it fine. It's there. It's sort of like a good working pamphlet, really, on the king. It's the only thing published on him. And so I've been busy doing that, and that was published, I delayed it by a week so I could get it out in 2018. I got it published just at the very beginning of 2018. It's been out about a week. So do that. You could find me on Facebook. If you put in The Teller and Facebook, you'll get my icon of the raven and my usual logo of the candle on the table. Say hello, let me know how you like the story. You can also find me on Podbean, which has a page for my stories now. And you can also, I'm pretty sure, find me on iTunes. If you have a moment and can do me a review on iTunes, those I really appreciate because it puts me higher up the search engine and iTunes kind of recommends you and you get more listeners and things like that. So if you have time to do that, that's wonderful. Thank you so much again for your company, and God bless, look after yourselves, and I'll see you no doubt in a few weeks' time. All right now, take care, bye-bye.